Thank you, Debbie. As we enter day 8 of our 40-day campaign, I hope and my desire for you is that we learn to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we learn to love one another. I hope that at the end of this 40 days, you have a black belt in love. I hope that you can have a blue ribbon in love, a gold star. And I hope that you can learn to get through some of the barriers that often happen to us as we try to dialogue with one another in relationship, and that your love for God would just increase, and that your love for one another would increase to the point where you recognize and understand how much God loves you and how you can pass that along to the people in your circle of influence. If you have your bulletins, over on the right-hand side of the bulletin is our theme for this particular session in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And I'd like for us to read that together as we begin this morning. It's on the right-hand side of your bulletin. If you have your Bibles, it's in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Excuse me. So are you ready to go with me? Here we go. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. So if we're going to learn how to love, one of the things we are looking for is someone who has done it, someone who is a proficient person in loving. And so when we look for that example and that role model, the greatest one that we have is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And therefore, when he says to us that we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he has showed us how to do that through his life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. And today we're going to continue this pilgrimage of learning how to love God and learning how to love one another. I have to excuse my voice a little bit. I was at the game last night, and what do you think about those Rays, huh? I had to shout down some Red Sox fans. I don't know what the deal was, but so if I'm a little bleary-eyed, that's okay too. But see, that was a great example for my love sermon today. I had to love those people that were sitting in front of me. Okay. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. I must accept others the way that Jesus accepts me. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Why would we do that? In order to bring praise to God. Not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory and the honor and the praise. You know, the fact is that the deep wounds of life that we have all suffered are primarily wounds of rejection. Those things that have hurt you deeply, it could be by your parents, it could be by your peer group, it could be when you applied for a job, it could be a girl or guy that you wanted to date and it just didn't work out. It could be that you've been belittled and berated by someone in your circle of influence, and those wounds go down deep. They go very deep. And some of you now as adults still remember those times in childhood or maybe even early adulthood when those wounds came near to you and that rejection just tore away at who you were. We've all had them, every one of us. And we've had them from different kinds of people and from different sources. In fact, a lot of what we do in life is a combination of trying to be accepted and trying not to be rejected. And then we come to this scripture: accept one another then as Christ has accepted you, so that we might bring praise and glory to God the Father. Do you remember when you were a kid and when someone dared you to do something and you didn't really want to do it, but you knew the peer pressure just kind of surrounded you and you said, well, I don't want to be rejected. Okay, I'll do it. There is a myth out there, and it's one that we have to take issue with, and that myth is this. You know, if I could just be perfect, everybody would love me. You know, if I could only not show people my frailties and my failures, they would all love me. You know, if I just never did anything wrong, then everybody would love me. If I could convince them that I have no problems, then I would get along with everybody and they would all think I'm wonderful and love me. Well, I have bad news for your friends. That's just wrong. You know, there was only one person who was ever perfect, and we know how they treated him. And so if you are looking for acceptance within the confines of being a perfect role model, you will not find it because you will never get there. And no matter what you do, I hate to tell you this, somebody's not going to like you. Now, I know you're a great guy or a great woman, and I know everybody should like you, but here's the bad news. Somebody won't. There are some people that no matter what you do, they're going to disagree with you and they're going to reject you. But here is the absolute great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has said to us, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise or in no way cast aside. I will accept him or her." Jesus wants to accept you. With all of your frailties and all of your problems and all of your issues and all of your insecurities and all of your hurts and all of the things that have gone wrong in your life, Jesus wants to reach out and draw you in close and say, "Man, I love you so much," just as Jesus accepted us. God says, "I love you," period. I don't love you because of who you are, Tom. I love you because who I am. I don't love you of what you do for me. I appreciate it, but I don't love you for that. I love you for what I have done for you. I don't love you because of the things and the character that you are. I love you because it is my character to be love, and I will love you unconditionally. There may be people in your life who will not like you, who will not accept you, who will reject you. But here's the good news. There are 6.5 billion people in the world, and so what if some of them don't like you? Big deal. I like you. There are people around you that love you. God loves you. And he said, "I have a plan for your life, and it's a plan for good and not for evil." Yes, you may have unpleasable parents. You may have a spouse that is really difficult to deal with. You may have friends that are really tough to get involved with. But I want to tell you this, God loves you and he accepts you. Psalm 27 and verse 10 says this, "Even if my mother and father forsake me." Now there's very few hurts in life that are stronger than that one. "Even if my mother and father forsake me," Psalm 27, 10, "the Lord will receive me." That's how much God loves you. How does he do that? How does he make us acceptable? He does it by his grace, the unlimited love of God. It's not based on our personality. It's not based on our performance or our likability. It's based upon his grace. And he reaches out to us and he says, "I want to give you a blessing," that we sang about this morning. And that blessing is tied up in the marvelous and wonderful love and grace of God the Father who cares about you. God wants you now, just as Jesus loves you. That's how much he does it. Just as Jesus accepts you, you are to, Romans 15, 7, accept one another. And that means that we have to look at those individuals around about us who are not perfect, those individuals who are frail, those individuals that sometimes do things that we wish they wouldn't do, those individuals that sometimes irritate us, and we have to accept them. But in order for us to do that, we have to know the difference between acceptance and approval. And especially, I think, in evangelical churches, we miss this point so much because we think, "I am not going to identify with that individual until I approve of everything that they do." It will never happen. It's very different between acceptance and approval. Acceptance says, I recognize that you have been created in the image of God, that He has a plan for your life, and I accept you with all of your frailties, and I would say to you, God still loves you, and I'm trying. But when we say, I'm approving of you, we say, I approve of everything you do. That's not going to happen. I don't even approve of some things I do. So we can't approve of ourselves all the time. But He still accepts us. Let me show you a 4-minute video that shows the difference between acceptance and approval. Because this is a really important distinction that we must understand. We can accept people without approving of their behavior and of what they do and of the things that they do in their life. This is a guy inviting some people to church, by the way. Do we have any sound? All right, we don't have sound. Okay, kill it. That's all right.
Let's begin and see what happens.
They're inviting people to church was the beginning of it. Clean your fish before you catch them. That's what the end of that little video says. We have to learn to accept people, even though we may not approve of all the things that they do in life. The second thing is this. Loving like Jesus means that I must value people the way that Jesus values me. How valuable are you anyway? Well, I know if you're talking about your net worth, you're not nearly as valuable as you were 2 months ago. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about your self-worth. Let me tell you how valuable you are to God. You are infinitely valuable to Him. First, God created you. Then Jesus died for you. And then He offered you His Holy Spirit to live within you, to guide you through life. And He said, I want to be with you forever, and I am providing this place for you, that he that comes to me, I will not cast him aside, and I want to live with him in eternity. That's how valuable you are to God. Well, what makes something valuable? The first thing is, who made it? Value depends upon who made it. You know, a Fabergé egg is quite different in value than a regular Easter egg, because of who made it. There's no comparison. A valuable Picasso painting is much more valuable than one that Pastor Sean scribbles on when he comes up here in the mornings. It's much more valuable. And you know automatically that there is somebody who has signed this. Somebody who has created this. I have a baseball signed by Mickey Mantle. It's probably worth $40. Now, if I had one signed by me, maybe $2. Or maybe $1. But the difference is, who signed it? Who made it? Who created you? Do you know what God says to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The word in Greek for workmanship there means masterpiece. Did you know you are God's masterpiece? Do you know that when He created you, He looked down and He smiled and He recognized that this is someone that is wonderfully important to me? And the second thing is that value determines on what somebody will pay for it. How much is your house worth? A lot less than it was 2 years ago. Why? Because people aren't willing to pay that much anymore. They're only worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. What was God willing to pay to have a relationship with you? We were created by God, but every single one of us went astray. And so what God said is, I am willing to pay the price to redeem them. I want to buy them back. I want to bring them back into the family. And in 1 Peter it says, He paid for you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. If you want to know how much you are worth to God, look behind me at the cross. You are so worthwhile to God that He would pay the ultimate price. You know, there are some people who told you while you were growing up, you are worth nothing. Your parents may have said that. Your teacher may have said that. Your pastor may have said that. Your boss may have said that you worked for. He said to you, you're worthless. I want to tell you, it's never been more wrong. They are a liar. They lied to you, because whatever they said to you does not jive with Ephesians 2:10. Here's how much God loves you. It says in Isaiah chapter 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has born? Can you imagine a mother who would not care for her child? It's inconceivable to us. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand, and though she may forget you, I will never forget you. God says to us, even if your own parents reject you, I will not. And now Jesus says, I want to show you that kind of love. So the third thing that He says to us is this: we must treat everyone with dignity. How do you do that? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, it says this: show respect to one another. You must treat people with dignity. The message says, treat everyone that you meet with dignity. And that means how many people? Everyone. You know, I looked up the definition of that word everyone in Greek. And you know what it means? Everyone. Amazing. In pages 6 and 7 on your daily readings that you're reading with the Tom Holliday book, He gives us a great expanded understanding of that, and I'm not going to go into that this morning, but you can read that. When he talks about everyone, he says, we are to love everyone, but we can't love everyone until we start with someone. He said, it's a grand thing to say, I love everyone. It's quite different to look across the table at someone and say, I love you. If the Bible says that we are to love everyone and we're to show everyone respect and dignity, that means that the individuals that you are involved in each day of your life are those individuals that where you start. It's not just the family members that already love you. It's just not people who care about you. It's everyone. And when you start believing what Jesus says, instead of what other people say about who you are, we begin to understand how much He loves us. You're acceptable. You're lovable. God cares about you. You know, as we have gone through this process in these 40 days of learning how to love, it is a process. Some of us have had some barriers in learning how to love. We've had some fears that are unfounded. We've had some things that we felt like were true, but they're false. We haven't understood exactly how much God loves and cares about us. In your small groups this week, you're going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. And he's going to talk to us about the definition of love and how much he loves us. But I would say to you this morning, if we are going to learn how to love, we have to start by accepting people wherever they are, whatever their problems, whatever their issues in life, whatever their problems that they have to deal with, and sometimes they're irritating to you, and sometimes it's difficult to get to that. We have to accept them, and the reason why? Because Christ accepted us with all of our problems and all of our hang-ups and all of our issues. And not only do we must accept them, we must value them. Every individual that is sitting in this sanctuary this morning is important to God. Every individual that is here has great value to us. You know, just a few weeks ago, I received a phone call from an individual that I went to school with at Anderson University that had taken his own life. And when I thought about that, I thought, wow, why didn't he call me? Why didn't he call me? So I could have said to him, Jerry, what? Don't do that. Do you need me to come up there and talk to you? You know, get to somebody who can help you. Because we're all valuable, my friends. We're extremely valuable. We have something to offer. You may be going through a financial issue. You may be going through a personal issue. You may be going through a health issue, or you may be going through a job issue, but whatever the issue of life that you happen to be dealing with right now, it pales in comparison to your great value and worth. God loves you. He cares about you. You're valuable to Him. And when we understand that, we can look around at other people and give value to them. We can show them dignity. Because every individual, regardless of who you are, deserves the respect and dignity of mankind. Because that's the way God treats us. Now let me ask you a very personal question. Who are you going to express love to this week? That was the question in your small groups. I want you to write their name down. This week I will reach out to, and there's a blank there, in a loving and unselfish way. Now, you don't have to write this down, but I want you to think about this as you write it down. How am I going to do that? It's one thing to write down John Doe. It's quite another thing to say, I am going to show love in an unselfish way to John Doe this week by, and then you have to fill in the blanks mentally there as we finish this off this morning. But see, we begin one step at a time, just like any major project. If you're going to learn how to do something, you begin with one step at a time. And so this week, we have given you the challenge to pick someone, not someone in your own family. You know, that's too easy. Pick someone that you say, I need to show this individual love and respect. I need to show this individual who sometimes grates on me and sometimes is irritating to me and sometimes I don't really even like this individual. Somehow this week, I need to show this individual a tangible expression of love because that's what God has done for me. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, you are gracious and loving today. You care about our lives and you care about each day. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us your word that helps us to understand, first of all, how much you love us. We could never get over why you would love us, but you do. And you've said, in the same way that I have loved you, we are to turn around and share that love with other people. And because you are patient with us, we are to be patient with others. Because you are kind to us, we are to be kind to others. Because you are forgiving to us, we are to be forgiving to others. Because, Father, you have great patience with us, we are to do the same for those around about us. Father, help us to learn to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us to love those around about us, even as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me?
Let's just reinforce that one time. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. And let the people of God sing His praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, lift your voice, and all those on the mountaintop, be glad and shout for joy. Rise up and praise Him.